Well, two people sentenced in connection with a series of sexual assaults that took place in Metro Vancouver earlier this year will not be facing any time behind bars. Police say the arrests came after much cooperation involving police forces in Metro Vancouver, as well as the Real-Time Intelligence Center and the RCMP Behavioral Sciences Unit. We now know that two of the accused will face the following penalties. One, a North Vancouver man charged with two sexual assaults, one in North Vancouver, one in downtown Vancouver, has been handed a suspended sentence, 18 months probation, and he has been ordered to give a DNA sample. Another, an unnamed youth, facing two counts of sexual assault, two of committing an indecent act in Vancouver, will face 6 months deferred custody, the youth equivalent of a conditional sentence. He has also been handed a firearms ban. And there are three others that are still awaiting sentencing. Joining me on the line is Angela Marie McDougall. She is the executive director of the Battered Women's Support Services. Angela, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning. What is your response to when you hear following these cases through the courts and hear the type of sentences we see for those accused and charged with sexual assault?
Well, I think it's disappointing on many levels. Firstly, we paid very close attention to the amount of what we observed were serial stranger sexual assaults that were happening in Metro Vancouver over a period of time. And the level of fear that women were experiencing at that time, and then knowing in lots of conversations that I had with law enforcement around the how they were notifying women, and then also the investigation, was that the law enforcement, the Vancouver Police Department specifically, and others put a lot of resources into the investigation and into the arrests. And it was really surprising to see this outcome. You know, it just sends this message repeatedly to women, not only here in Metro Vancouver, but all across the lands, that sexual violence, sexual assault, is not taken seriously.
And we heard that as well. I know in our newsroom we were talking with Hilla Kerner with Vancouver Rape Relief, and she echoed those concerns, saying no jail time sends the wrong message to anyone who thinks about committing a sexual assault or has committed a sexual assault, that you can get away with it.
Well, here's the thing that people need to understand, and I think every woman really understands this, that we really do live in a culture of permissiveness around rape, and that for rape of one woman, it is, you know, about degradation and terror, and most women and girls limit their behavior because of the existence of rape, stranger rape. And we know that stranger rape is actually the least amount of sexual assault that actually happens. Most times, it's if women are sexually assaulted, it's by someone that they know. But most women and girls are living in fear of rape, and men in general do not. And that's how rape functions, as a very, very, very powerful means by which a whole female population is held in a subordinate position to the whole male population. And when these serial rapes were happening in Metro Vancouver, I spoke to countless women and young and youth that were terrified. And to think about that, and to think about that at the end of the day, there isn't a measure of justice that these offenders that have been arrested and convicted receive virtually no consequence. The fact that law enforcement invested considerable resources, they put in a ton of money into staffing the task force in order to catch the six offenders that they caught, the six men that they caught, and boys. And let's remember that one of the individuals that we're talking about is a young person. And so, you know, I think this is, again, what we see consistently across our society, the extent to which society is not taking sexual violence against women seriously, and that women are, in various levels, living in fear on a daily basis of rape.
And you use the word rape as well. And do we do ourselves a disservice in using the umbrella term of sexual assault? Because even if you look at the numbers, and I think we've talked about this, if you look at the numbers of reported sexual assaults in Vancouver over the past 10 years, it's more than 5,000. But that goes from everything from a groping and somebody running off to a rape. Do we need to be more definitive in what we're talking about in these specific cases?
Well, in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. I think that when we're, you know, any kind of sexual unwanted, non-consensual, when there is a consent with respect to sexual contact is a sexual assault. And so I think that we've been trying to, you know, become more aware of consent and raising, you know, increasing understanding about consent. And so on that level, that matters because there. In order to, you know, I think that we a broad education around what is consent and how, you know, and how do you request consent? How do you understand consent? What are the basis of consent are really important. And so from that point of view, we want to know about sexual offending that happens on transit, which, you know, tends to be, you know, groping and other types of sexual unwanted sexual contact. We want to know about that because it's another facet of sexual violence within a culture of rape that women and girls are living with. And so, you know, I think that when we start to split the hairs on that, it matters on some level, but on another level, we want to look at the how endemic sexual violence is, how much of an epidemic it is, and the effects on women and girls every single day.
I totally agree. I was thinking more along the lines of sentencing. While none of it is okay, the sentencing for somebody perhaps that groped somebody or grabbed somebody who without and did that would likely be much different from somebody who performed a violent sexual assault.
Well, one of the things that is a factor here is that when these instances, we're talking about stranger sexual assault. And that is that you know, all kind of police research, all kinds of you know, research around criminal behavior and behavior around sexual violence, acknowledges that stranger sexual assault is aggravated, and that it is a significant kind of social and public safety concern when a man, in this instance, a young man or a young person, a young boy, does sexual violence in public. It has significance for the general population and around community safety. And so I think that the public aspect is something that all research and certainly feminists and women's organizations have spoke to this. It speaks to something certainly aggravated in the behavior of the man or the boy that's doing that in public. So it matters that we think about the public and that, you know, that you would grope someone that you don't know, and, you know, to sexually assault someone that you don't know in public is extremely problematic behavior. So I don't know that we want to minimize that. And I think that certainly with these sentences, we have.
There's been talk of the possibility or the idea of a separate court for sexual assault, because you're right, we do minimize it in many cases. And the point being, too, even if these men, and it's men in this case, were given jail terms, the point is we don't want them to get out of jail. We want it to stop. We don't want them to get out of jail and then reoffend.
Sure.
Is there something then like a sexual assault court, something that goes to the root of the problem, which is why are these men doing this? Why do these men think it's okay? And trying to stem it there?
The criminal legal system can only do so much. And what we know that most sexual assault is not reported to the police. And for those sexual assaults, you quoted some statistics that have become public recently in terms of reports in Metro Vancouver, well, actually with the VPD. Most is not, the vast majority, 8% by Women Against Violence Against Women Rape Crisis Center, by their statistics, about 8% is actually reported to police. The vast majority is not. So the criminal legal system can only do so much. We actually need to do a bigger piece of work as a society around helping men, quite frankly, rather than teaching women about how to avoid getting raped in terms of where we are at night and not, you know, dressing and if we're drinking but rather to teach men not to rape and to be very clear, to send that message. This is not on. We are not tolerating this in this community. We will not tolerate it. It is unacceptable. And to make that point on all levels of our society, from, you know, and throughout our society. I mean, you know, there's still silence by our elected officials with respect to the amount of terror across Metro Vancouver that girls and women were experiencing during the time where there were these serial rapes. Not a peep from elected officials regarding this. It was astonishing that we could see that more than half the population, in terms of women and girls, being, you know, at least 50%, if not more, of the population being in fear, and nothing, not a word.
Angela, I couldn't agree with you more. We need to do more to make it stop, to stop it being the women's problem to defend ourselves rather than going after the source of the violence. We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you so much. I always appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Jill, for the opportunity to speak to this.
All right. That is Angela Marie McDougall, the Executive Director of the Battered Women's Support Services. We'll take a short break before we are back to wrap up the show.